Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house, isn't it? I'm going to be in Genesis 28, the book of beginnings. Congratulations to the pastor and Sister Chris on 10 years of ministry and labor and here at Progress. I'm glad the Lord allowed us to be a part of it, and it's been a wonderful trip, and really just on the threshold, just going to get greater and better on down the road, I'm persuaded, till Jesus comes anyway, and then things will really pick up, amen. Miss Biddle said all the preaching going on and everything going on, but she said preaching is going to be out when the rapture occurs, and shouting and praising God is going to pick up. So I kind of enjoyed worshiping with them and enjoyed being here today. It's been good. Enjoy the fellowship last night. And I told Brother Billy a while ago, I've got 6 points. I'm going to preach 3. And I don't know which 3 I'm going to preach. Amen. So we'll get started here in a little bit. Good to see Brother Jones and his family and some of you here this morning. And we're looking for a good day today. Amen. I do need your prayers. The Lord will help me. Genesis 28, it's the story of Isaac and Jacob. Of course, verse number 1, I'm not going to read the entire chapter. But Isaac in chapter 1 called Jacob his son and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. So that's what Genesis 28 is about. It's Jacob looking for a bride, looking for his wife. And his father Isaac sent him to, said, don't marry one of these girls here in this part of the world. Go to your Uncle Laban's house and marry one of his daughters. Amen. Well, that was in order back in those days, and probably wouldn't hurt us to follow a little bit of instruction from Mom and Dad. Amen. That would probably help us, help some of y'all. It's too late for me. But anyway, he's the father sends the son to get a bride. And when I read that this week, the Lord dealt with my heart about preaching. And I was reminded of another father, our Heavenly Father, that sent his son to this earth to choose out a bride, to find a bride. And that's what Genesis 28 is all about. Jacob finding, of course, Leah and Rachel, and I don't have time to deal with another man's wife this morning. But he labored 7 years for, he thought Rachel and ended up with Leah. And some preachers don't believe it was 20 years, but he said it was. Jacob said it was. He told his father-in-law. But he labored 7 more years for Rachel and, of course, ended up with her after 14 years. And then he said in this chapter, he labored all over in the book, that he labored 6 more years for the cattle. So I thought, well, a good wife ought to be worth at least 1 more year than a cow, amen? But he labored 20 years and ended up with 2 women and a bunch of cows. So I don't know where you are today, but it's good to be saved and good to be married, amen? And you can have 2 if you want. I think 1 woman's enough for any man. But I'm in Genesis 28 and verse number 10. Let's drop down to verse number 10. He goes through some preliminaries here, but he gets down to verse 10. And the Bible said, Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Some call it Haran. My Cambridge Bible has it Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in the place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it, on the ladder. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now that was Genesis 12. I think God made that promise to Abraham, but he went through Isaac and Jacob, of course. And then verse number 15, he said, "And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into the land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." My English teacher, Miss Thomas, wouldn't agree with the end of the sentence with "of." Amen. And she's probably still alive. She was about 80 when she taught me 60 years ago, or 65, and she's probably still teaching. Verse number 16, "And Jacob awake out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and took the stone which he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, or Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, so that I come again to thy father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." Would you ask God to help me get the thoughts together? Father, I love you. And I want to thank you one more time for Calvary. Thank you for the blood that Jesus shed there, Lord, for the remission of my sin. And I know I stand before you justified by the power that's in that blood. And I would ask thee this morning one more time that you would touch us and anoint us and clothe us in your calling. And Lord, may the Word of God have free course and right away all through the day. Help Brother Jones, he'll preach in a little while. But I need you in this hour, and I pray you give me liberty and unction and power. And Lord, may hearts respond to the wooing of the Holy Ghost and instruction from the Word of God. Thank you for this today. We recognize our pastor and his labors here. God bless him, strengthen him, and give him many more years to serve you. And we'll love you and thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the story of Genesis 28 again is Isaac sending his son Jacob to find a bride. And God the Father, 2,000 plus years ago, saw a man upon the face of this earth, lost and undone without God. And he sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. The Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so Jesus came into this world, and he said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. And so God sent his Son into this world to choose out a bride. And that's what this story is all about. And I don't know if I'll get down that far in my thoughts this morning or not, but that's what the story of Genesis 28 is all about. And some of the greatest messages I've ever heard. I've heard great men of God preach out of this text before and made me want to preach it. Amen. So there's been some great sermons and great messages come out of Genesis chapter number 28 about Jacob and his bride and Jacob and Laban and Leah and Rachel. We had a family at Pleasant View that their girls were named Leah and Rachel. And Leah was tender-eyed and Rachel was beautiful, amen. But nevertheless, God sent his son Jacob to find him a bride. And I want to put the emphasis on that today. The day in which we're living, God is choosing out a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the thought of my heart. If I can relate to you the way God dealt with me about it, I want you to notice in verse number 11, if you mark your King James Bible, the Bible said Jacob lighted upon a certain place. I circled place in verse 11. And then the latter part of the verse of 11, he said he took the stones of that place. I circled place again in the middle of that verse. And he put them in that for pillows and lay down in that place. So you got three times place is mentioned in verse number 11. Look at verse number 16. The Bible said, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. I circled place in verse 16. Look at verse number 17. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful, don't let that throw you, how dreadful is this place? There's place again in verse number 17. Verse number 19, and he called the name of that place Bethel or Bethel. And so place is mentioned there six times. He did say, I'll be with you in all the places you go. But I'm not going to deal with that really. I want to deal with that place that he referred to in verse 11, verse 16, verse 17, and verse number 19. And I want to preach for a little while, if the Lord will help me, on the place of all places. We're in near Asheville, North Carolina. You're well aware of that. And I thought about this week as I tried to pray and study. There's thousands of people spend thousands of dollars and travel thousands of miles to go to the Biltmore House. And they pass up Progress Baptist Church on the way there. I think they're going to the wrong place. All right, listen to me. And then some of us, we'll spend hundreds of dollars and go to Virginia or Tennessee or Valley Forge or somewhere and look at a old mansion that's about dilapidated and about to fall down. And the president that lived there has been dead for 150 years, and we'll spend all of our hard-earned money to go there and see where he resided for 4 years or 8 years or whatever the case of Roosevelt, maybe 12 years. But nevertheless, those places, they're very minute, and they dim terribly when you compare it to the house of God. I thought about the place of all places. Amen. And the number six there, and I'm not going to get into biblical numerology, but it had a significance in being named six times there. And I just want to preach to you for a little while on the church. The Bible said in Ephesians 5:25 that Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. God has commanded me. I've been married to that lady about 60 years. And God commanded me for you young men. He said, husband, you love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I'll tell you why Jesus left the ivory palaces of glory and came into this sin-cursed world, born in a cow stall, never traveled, they say, over 250, 300 miles away from home, and neighbor was ridiculed, mocked, and laughed, and jeered, and crucified. He did that because he was looking for a bride. And I thought about, as my mind began to go through the scripture this week, and I'll just get to one or two points and I'll close in a little bit. But I thought about in the book of Acts, and the Bible said in chapter number 15 that the preachers had come together in chapter number 15, Brother Jones, and they were having some kind of a preacher's meeting or a preacher's conference. What stemmed that meeting? It was that a bunch of Gentiles had been saved under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And of course, Peter going down to the house of wealth to some of the Gentiles. But primarily, it was the ministry of the Apostle Paul and a lot of Gentiles that were getting saved. And Brother Peter was in that meeting. Usually, he couldn't keep quiet. He's like a lot of Baptists that I know. But he talked to them about the Gentiles are getting saved, and some of the Pharisees and the Judaizers or whoever had commanded that, said those Gentiles, they're going to have to be circumcised and they're going to have to keep the law of Moses if they're going to be saved. Now we know that's not true, and they were trying to make the Gentiles spiritual Israel, and there's a crowd still doing that today, amen. But they just waited too late to tell me, because Israel is not the church and the church is not Israel. There's a distinction there. God has turned away from Israel about 2,000 years ago, when Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so God, I think, put, I think M.R. Dehon, I read it about 50 years ago, He said that God has put Israel on the sidetrack and He's got the church on the main line. Now listen to me. We ought to thank God that God has allowed us to live in the church age. If you want to say church dispensation, but we are a privileged people. We're a particular people. We are a peculiar people, Brother Peter said. We are the bride, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's my thought. In that meeting in Acts chapter number 15, they had some discussions about the law and what's required of this and that and the other. And after they got through, there's a man by the name of James. In verse number 13, 14, and 15, James said, "Men and brethren, can I say a word?" And they said, "Yeah, James, go ahead." He said, "Well, Simeon has wrote and said it's in all the prophets how that God would visit the Gentiles to take out a people for His name." I did that 60 years ago, 62 years ago. I went to Egypt down in Florida, got out of Georgia, went down in Egypt and found a woman down there, and I brought her out of there and gave her my name. Are you listening to me? I didn't stay there. I stayed because her mama found me a job and her sister intervened and found me a job. And I just wanted to get out of there and go back to West Virginia and go to work in the coal mines. Amen. But mom and sister-in-law found me a job and they kept me down there until God liked to kill me to get me out of there. Somebody help me say amen. Yeah. But anyway, I found a bride. I remember when you found yours, Michael. She is a cellar dweller living in the basement. Amen. But nevertheless, I found a bride down there that took my name. Yeah. That's what God is doing today. Are you listening? This is the greatest time and the greatest dispensation, as far as I'm concerned, since I'm preaching right now, that there has ever been to live for Jesus and honor Him. You know who in here is the most precious person in here to me other than Jesus? It's my bride. Thank God for her. I love her. She's precious to me. And we are the bride of Christ. And I could preach there for a little while, but it don't have time. But Brother James made this statement. I used to read, I performed or went to Repeat Your Vows here a couple of weeks ago, and I preached against it for about 50-some years, and I don't think you have to do something twice. What God does, He does forever. Amen. And you can't add to it, take away from it. But nevertheless, I didn't think that I was blaspheming the Holy Ghost. So I went and I got in on that, repeating those vows, and it went pretty smoothly, amen. But somebody told me, he said, "Brother Ryan, the best thing that ever happened to you is when you married Norma Jean Harper." I said, "Well, I can't argue too much with that. I think the best thing that ever happened to me is when Jesus saved me. But the second best thing that ever happened to me is when I married that pretty girl in Florida." But the point is, she took my name, Brother Michael, and I brought her out of there, and she's been with me now. It was about 62 years ago. I married her 60 years ago, and we've been yoked up together ever since that, and I hope we'll have at least 15 more years or so. I figure Jesus is going to come before them. Here's my point. I'm going to hurry. I may not get but one point. Amen. Here's what James said in Acts chapter number 15. He said, "Men and brethren," he said, "let me tell you something." He said, "Here's what Simeon said, and said all the prophets agreed to it, that God is going to visit the Gentiles and take out a people for His name." Now, if that ain't your bride, somebody help me. Amen. He's going to visit the Gentiles. We are living in the Gentile dispensation when God's got Israel on the sidetrack and He's working through the church. He's choosing out a bride. You get saved by the grace of God and the Holy Ghost, according to 1 Corinthians, He baptizes you into the body of Christ. That's a spiritual baptism. It's not water baptism, but God is building a church and that church is His bride. And here's a clincher. Here's what I got to say, and I'm going to move on. The Bible said, James said, He only visited the Gentiles. He didn't come to stay. Listen to me. He visited. Now, we've had some folks, mother-in-law, come to visit with us on July and stayed till Christmas. But listen to me. The Lord is only visiting the Gentile. Some of you are procrastinating. You're putting it off. Well, I know I need to get saved, but I've got to do this. I've got to do the other. I thought about my older brother that's dead and in heaven this morning. He like to got killed working overseas, heavy construction. I went to see him in the hospital and talked to him. He said, Larry, I'm just not ready. I know I need to be saved. He knew the truth. With three preachers in the family, he had been talked to. I talked to him. My older brother, Elmer Snook, he said, I'm just not ready. I said, yeah, and the road to hell is paved with good intentions. People that just said, I'm not ready right now, but I'm not going to go to hell. I'm going to get saved sometime. Listen to me. If the rapture would occur today, that's a catching away, the translating of the church from heaven to earth. If that should occur today and you're not saved, you will be lost eternally forever and without any hope. And a lot of preachers disagree with it. They got a right to be wrong if they want to. If you have heard the presentation of the gospel and you reject Jesus Christ and refuse His proposal unto you, I want to marry you. I want to be your husband. I want you to be my bride. And you reject that and the rapture occurs in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you will be lost eternally. God is only visiting the Gentiles. That's a temporary thing. Here's what I was going to say a while ago. I got my big wide margin Bible, not the one I'm preaching from this morning. I didn't want to defile it. I got that other Bible out that I used to read from years ago. And I was going down the margin of that, Brother Jones. And I looked there in, I don't know how many years ago I got it, but down through the flyleaf of that Bible, an old widow in West Virginia, I preached up there and she did her Bible like that when I was a young whippersnapper. So I started doing mine. When I'd read a book, I'd date it. And I'd read it again, I'd date it. And I had a list down there about as long, a whole flyleaf on the side of that Bible. And I read it through four times. I read it through five times the next year. I think the most I read it through in one year was six times. And I had all that listed down there. I don't read that much anymore. Listen to me. I have come, Brother Adam, to that place where I've slowed down and I've tried to digest and I try to decipher and I try to get into that verse and get a little deeper in there and see what God says. You can read so much that you can't comprehend all of it. And I told people to read the Bible, and you read your Bible, but don't run through it like a catalog looking for some part or this or that and the other. Slow down and look at that book and muse on it, meditate in it, and watch what God's saying. And I did that this week, and James said in Acts chapter number 15, he said, God's just going to visit the Gentile. And I felt with all of my heart, I better tell somebody here this morning, the visit's about over with. He is visiting the Gentile, and He's going to turn, when that bride is gone, the rapture occurs, He's going to turn back to the nation of Israel, and if He doesn't do that, they'll be completely destroyed and wiped off the face of the earth. I hope Brother Jones will say more about that, and I know you'll mind God, but I'm telling you, God is getting ready. If you've got one eye, half sense, and a broken pencil, you ought to figure out something that's going to boil over and explode in the Middle East between Iran and Iraq and Israel. That thing is a boiling pot, and it's about to explode. Before that occurs, the church is going out of this earth. The visit's about over is what I want you to see. That's what Jacob is going to visit his uncle and get him a bride. Now let me just go through two or three of these and that's the meat of my message. And that's not my message, but I think that's where God had me hung up. I'm preaching very briefly on the place of all places. Jacob takes a journey and he comes to this place. And he gets there, he's exhausted, he's tired, he's worn out. I've got three things about that place. I don't know if I'll get all three of them or not, but it's a type of a local church. He did say, this is none others, at verse number 17. He did say in verse number 17 that it's a dreadful place.
He said, it's none other but the house of God. Are you listening to me for just a minute? Jacob said, this is none other but the house of God. Thank God for God's house. Thank God for the house of God. It is the place of all places. I got saved in the church. I met Jesus in the church. I was baptized into the First Baptist Church. Got to preach there two or three times. It's a country Baptist church where my wife was raised. The church raised a wife for me. Are you listening to me? I raised my family in the church. Are you listening to the preacher? Best friends I've ever had on the face of this earth is the church. I love the church. Jesus loved the church. Thank God for the church. It's a place of all places to me. We was coming up the mountain this morning. I was chewing the bits and pawing the stall and quarreling to those idiots that don't know how to drive. I said, man, you're in the hammer lane. Get out of the road. I'm on the way to the house of God. I felt like Jehu. Amen. I wanted to put the pedal to the metal and get in the house of God. When I pastored, I usually got there at least an hour and a half early, and we'd just sit around and talk, and I'd watch the sheep gather in. I'm just excited about the church. Jacob got excited here. He's going to get a bride. Amen. And the notice of, and I'll not preach all this, but look with me if you please. He said, he saw a ladder. Look with me please. I'm not even going to get to my outline, but look at verse number 11. He lighted upon a certain place, tarried there all the night. You know, it's getting dark. You ought to light somewhere. Amen. Light. Well, I find you a place to light. I like to see chickens come home to roost, don't you? And he tarried there, verse 11, all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place, put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. Now look at his dream in verse 12. Would let me say vision. He dreamed and beheld a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of that ladder reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending. Listen to me, and here's how God dealt with me, and I'll be through in just a little bit. Jacob had a dream or had a vision of a ladder, and that ladder, the foot of it was set on the earth, and the top of it reached into heaven. That ladder is not the church. I am not climbing Jacob's ladder. Amen. We are climbing up Jacob's ladder. I am not building a bridge or climbing a ladder, either one. Amen. Are you listening to the preacher? That ladder is the type of Jesus. If you mark your Bible, mark John 1:51. Jesus was talking to Nathanael, and he said, and Nathanael said, how do you know me? What do you know about me? And Jesus said, I saw you when you was under the fig tree. Why, Nathanael's mouth dropped open. He said, Jesus knows everything about us. Amen. And Jesus said, if you think that's something, Nathanael, I'm paraphrasing, he said, you're going to see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Are you listening to me? That ladder is a picture of the incarnate Christ come into this world. The foot is on the earth. That's His incarnation. And the top of it reach into heaven. That's His deity. And the angels of God running up and down that ladder. They helped Him when He was born. They ministered to Him when He was on the earth. They were there at the cross when they crucified Him. They were there at the tomb when the two young men sat at the head and the foot of the tomb. They were there, neighbor, when He arose from the dead. They were there when He ascended back to heaven, and I'm persuaded they're coming back with Him when He comes to get His bride. Amen. But that ladder is not the church. Listen to me just a moment. Jacob said, I saw that ladder, and the angels were running up and down on that ladder, ascending and descending. That's a type of Jesus. He's the only way to heaven. He is the ladder. Oh, preacher, what about the place? Well, that place is the type of the church. Listen to me briefly. I'll quit. The ladder's Jesus. The place is the house of God. Jacob said in the last verse in that chapter, and also he said, this is none other but the house of God. And I'm not going to preach there because I'm not the pastor. But churches are doing everything but being a church. This is none else but the house of God. They're selling school buses. They're selling real estate. They're selling Avon. They're selling vitamins. They're doing everything in the world but trying to reach poor old sinners for Jesus. I think a preacher ought to go about half crazy, throw his coat over in the baptistry, and rear back and preach a devil out of us. God's got a business. That's to be a, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. There's a lot of businesses that God's not in. But they are. There's a business God's in. That's the church business. Are you listening to me? This is none other but the house of God. You know something else Jacob said? He said, this is the gate to heaven. Jesus is the ladder. If I got my theology right, Brother Jones, the church is the gate. That's what Jacob said. The church is the gate. That reminded me of one of the seven parables in Matthew 7 where Jesus said, enter into the straight gate. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. If Jesus is the ladder and if the church is the gate, give me the straight gate. Amen. And I know that's precise. I believe it ought to be plumbed right, and I believe it ought to have a threshold, and I believe it ought to have a lean on all of that. But listen to me. Give me the straight gate. If the church is the gate to heaven, thank God for it. Aren't you glad God has given us a pastor that believes the Bible, believes we ought to do right? He got a lot more sense than I had when I was his age or a whole lot younger. Thank God for a man that understands people, work and labor and love you and burn the midnight oil, get something to feed our soul, and do his dead level best by the help and the grace of God to keep the church a straight gate and a narrow way. Tell me the truth. Listen to me. Help me. Jacob said, is not this the house of God? Here's the kind of place that Bethel was. It was a place, and I'll quit in a moment. It was a place where he had a vision of God. I don't know why you came this morning. I came to honor the pastor. I came to be with my family. I came to fellowship with you. But primarily, I come to see Jesus. I came to worship Him. Brother Billy singing those songs a while ago. My mind got in the third heaven. I said, Lord, I want to worship You. I want to adore You. We need You. We ask You to breathe on this place today. And so a good church is a church that's got a vision of the Lord. Where there's no vision, the Bible said the people perish. I believe we ought to have a vision of the world. But I want to come to church where I can see God. Not only was it a place of a vision, but it was a place of a voice. God spoke to him. I want to hear from heaven, preacher, when I come to church. Tell me something to help me. There's no fool like an old fool. I'm old, but I don't want to be foolish. Amen. I don't want to flub the dub. I don't want to get and miss the will of God for my life. When I'm nearing the shore and living in the twilight of my life, and the Lord Jesus, if He don't come, I'm gone. Amen. Sooner or later, I intend to preach till I'm 97 at least. I preach at all my young ministry, so I'm not going back up now. But nevertheless, I want to come to a place where I can see God, and I want to come to a place where I can hear God. He heard the voice of the Lord. And I got His presence. The Lord was there. I got His promises. He said, Jacob, I'm going to clothe you. I'm going to feed you. Did you notice the promise of you young families? Listen to the old preacher for just a moment. If I can find the place, and I'll quit. In verse number 20, Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me, that's His presence, and will keep me, that's His preservation, in the way that I go, will give me bread to eat and raiment. That's the provisions in verse number 20. God said, the Lord Jesus said, Paul said, that my God shall supply all of your need. My Sunday school class, Brother Billy, Sunday school class, our God is going to supply all of our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God takes good care of His bride. He takes care of His bride. We're His bride. You're His bride. When you give your heart to Jesus, you become His bride, and He's going to take care of you. He said He'll feed you. And I preached somewhere, and I used to say young preacher, you wasn't too young. I have been young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And a feller told me after church, said, you can't apply that in this today. I said, well, I've been applying it for about 55 years, and it's worked every time I applied it. I believe it'll still apply today. I have been young, now I'm old, Brother Mike, and I still haven't seen the righteous forever. He said, well, I don't have time to deal with him. He's not here to defend himself. But he said, what about Lazarus? He's a good man, saved man. He was begging. I said, well, who was Lazarus' mom and daddy? Was he the seed of a good heavenly, good earthly father? Y'all, I never thought about that. I said, well, you ought to think about it a little bit. I don't think my seed's going to be begging bread. Jesus, the Lord told Jacob, He said, I'll clothe you and I'll feed you. Can I insert this? What do you think He fed him? How do you think He clothed him? Well, don't get the pillar out and lay down and go to sleep now. I'll guarantee you, He didn't feed him pickled pig's feet or hog jowl, and He did not put him in skinny jeans. When God feeds you, He feeds you good. It may have been the leg of lamb or the fatted calf, but God feeds good. Amen. I do have time to eat a big steak if somebody wants to buy me one. When God clothes you, He'll do it right. It'll be modest. It'll be nice. It'll be attractive. It'll be long enough to be modest. It'll be loose enough to be comfortable. It'll be high enough to cover you up. That's what the Father said, Brother Maggio. He said that, but he said, get out that best robe. I believe that best robe fit. Like somebody's going to get the preacher a pair. Somebody bought me this pair of shoes. Nice. I liked them so good, he bought me a brown pair to match them. Amen. He'll never go without shoes. Got to take care of him. If he don't, I will. Because I want her to have good testimony for my Father. But God takes care of you. God clothes you. God feeds you. God's a good God. The place of all places is His church. I love the church, don't you? Jacob went on, got the bride, come back. If we had time to... Mercy, time flies when you're having fun. But on his way back, we know wrestling and touched the hollow of his thigh and all of that went on. And that's another step in Jacob's life that I don't have time to deal with. But it all began at a place called Bethel, the house of God. Well, I can sit back. Old men dream. Young men's got visions. But old men can dream dreams. And I'm old enough and I can dream. And I don't live in the past, but I like to visit there, PJ, don't you? I'm not living in the past, but I tell you, I like to remember how good God's been to me. We was coming up the mountain today. This is hillbilly language, but I reached over and I got my wife on a kneecap. And I just, you know what that means in West Virginia language? I love you. Well, I told her I loved her when she was a teenage little girl, but she's a grandma now and I still love her. And I don't run off the mouth and say a bunch of words at the hot air, but I just reached over and tapped her on the knee and said, I love you. Going to the house of God. Most of my family here today, all of them in the house of God. God's been good to me. The church is the place of all places. I have been to the Biltmore House. I've been to maybe to Valley Forge or Monticello or wherever people like to go. I've seen the president's faces out in the coast. It's South Dakota where they got I hope they don't put Nancy Pelosi and Obama up there. that mountain would crumble. Amen. We've been out there and saw some of the sights of the world. Saw Niagara Falls. We ought to send our preacher up there to let him see Niagara Falls. But there's nothing in the world like the church. I love it. And I'm not going to get down to that last verse. Some of us probably need it. He said, all that you bless me with, I'm going to put a tenth of it in the church. That's where the tithe goes in the church. Plus a love offering for the pastor. Amen. The place of all places. Let me ask you this. I'm through. Have you heard His voice today? Have you seen anything that would resemble or remind you of God in this place? I saw Him fellowshipping with the church. I saw Him when my friends came in. I saw Him when my family came in. I saw Him when they were singing the specials a while ago. I had a vision of Him, heard His voice, and I've made some vows. Third point, I promise Him, Lord, I'm going to serve You till I die. I want to be faithful. Be Thou faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10, I'll give You a crown of life. I intend to have some kind of a reward where I can lay it at the feet of Jesus. And it's all because everything I have, I owe it to the church. God gave me some good men to help me and teach me and point us in the right direction. I'm through, but a preacher called me. Suppose he's trying to do mission work, and I don't have time to get into that, but he got messed up. But everybody, he called me the other day. He said, Brother Larry, he said, we ought to thank God for our pastor. We were in the same church in Florida years ago. He said, we ought to thank God for our pastor. He got us rooted and grounded in the Word of God and taught us things that I've carried with me for the last 50-plus years. I learned it in the church. It's the place of all places to me. Thank you, preacher, for letting me preach.